This week, women's health, family health.
We try to empower people to take charge of their health because that is the way healthcare is going.
Plus, gender equality and the mother of all scandals in Pakistan. I'm Susan Barnett, and this is 51%, The Women's Perspective. The Paycheck Fairness Act was defeated in Congress this month, and the question of pay equity and gender equality continues to be unanswered, both in the U.S. and many other countries. In the U.S., President Obama moved the pay equity issue forward by signing an executive order banning retaliation against employees of federal contractors for disclosing or inquiring about their wages. One in five American workers is employed by federal contractors, and those contractors are paid $500 billion each year for federal contracts. If the government demands accountability, it's got some clout behind that demand. Meanwhile, the UN is working on sustainable development goals that will replace the Millennium Development Goals after 2015, and the role of women is taking center stage. But this time, men's role in advancing equal rights and pay for women is being addressed. In Mozambique, there is a network of organizations called the Men for Change Network, which is addressing issues of masculinity, gender equality, health, and human rights. UN Radio's Derek Mbatha caught up with Julio Lenga, the network's coordinator, at a major women's meeting at UN headquarters.
If you're going to have gender equality as a cross-cutting issue in all the sustainable development goals, it is also fundamental that we include an approach to men. We include some kind of education, some kind of sensitization. We include public policies that are going to address men too around issues of gender equality.
What are some of the challenges that need to be addressed in order to get the men involved in issues of gender equality in Mozambique?
Obviously, there are many challenges. And one of the challenges, I would say, has to do with our traditions, has to do with our culture, obviously. I'm not going to suggest that our culture as a whole is something bad. Sometimes you will have men who are personally interested in these issues. They want to engage in gender equality. They approach Open Network in order to learn more about gender equality. But there are obviously many other men who do not necessarily have the same perspective. They want to keep themselves in the same positions, with the same kind of attitudes, with the same kind of behavior.
If I may, can I just jump in there? Can you give me an example or examples of some of these attitudes that you are referring to?
Yes. For instance, I remember once I went to swim, and after swimming, I was having a short discussion with some of the fellow swimmers. And one of the guys was saying that I cannot get married for nothing. If I get married, my partner has to do the housework. She has to cook for me. She has to take care of me. She has to wash my clothes and so on and so forth. So these are very simple and concrete examples of how some of us are insisting or are willing to keep ourselves in the same traditional roles and positions in the society.
One might argue actually that even that traditional role, actually so-called traditional role, because in traditional societies there is what is called division of labor, right?
Yes, there is division of labor, but this division of labor very often occurs under certain power relationships. And you will see that we still have in Mozambique and in most of our African countries this division of labor, in which even in the work market, there are some kind of activities that we tend to think that only women can do and others that only men can do. That's why I think it's difficult sometimes for women to engage in politics, for instance, because most of us, we believe that that is not women's space. We believe that women's space is at home, taking care of the children, cooking, etc., etc., etc. These are new times, and we need to challenge these visions because it is proved, there is a lot of evidence that challenging this kind of visions can bring benefits to ourselves as men, but also to everyone.
That report comes to us courtesy of UN Radio. Women, health experts tell us, are the gatekeepers for their family's health. And with health care reform comes an increasing emphasis on patients taking the lead in their own health care decisions. For 14 years, an event in New York's Hudson Valley has been a place for women to learn more about treatments for illness and, increasingly, how to maintain wellness. Dr. Deborah Karnashevitz is an internist and organizer and founder of the 14th Annual Women's Health Expo, coming up in Kingston, New York, on May 3rd.
Women are often multitasking and also caring for many different people of the family, their parents, their grandkids. And so I thought, well, I'm going to put a day together where women can come, they can learn, they can focus on their health and the health of their families. You know, women are the gatekeepers of family health. So I thought if I develop this for women, we can get the information out to the entire family. The expo has grown from the very first year where there are only a few hundred people to a few thousand. But I think more importantly, it's become broader and richer in its content. And we now spend a whole lot of time educating people to prevention and leading a healthy lifestyle. We try to empower people to take charge of their health. Because that is the way healthcare is going, and that's the way it should be. I always tell my patients, I love to see you, but if I can prevent you from having something, that is a much better thing than me treating it once it happens.
If you're a baby boomer, you're probably still trying to adjust to the change from a system where doctor knew best, and now you were supposed to be your own advocate, educate yourself, and make your own healthcare decisions. How do you help people transition to that way of thinking?
I think you're absolutely right. There's been a huge transformation in healthcare, and I think that this is very good for patients because it's becoming what we would call as more patient-centered. It's the patient as a partner. It's the patient empowered in charge of their care along with their physician. And it's also increasing access, and it's not just access to the visit to the doctor's office. It's access to their lab tests. And it's access through patient portals. And I think having these type of dialogues with patients where you actually talk to them about what they can do to keep themselves healthy is what the expo has always been about. I feel like my life in healthcare has come full circle because it has always been about with the expo population health. And now that's where medicine is transforming itself into. And I think that's a good thing for patients. The theme of this year's expo, actually, is creating a healthy kitchen. And I think this is great for folks because there's so much in the media about what to eat and what not to eat. You know, gluten's hot, fat is now back in, sugars are out, and people really don't know what to eat. And what we're really trying to focus on is having people eat what we would call whole food, talking about eating healthy food, food that is not processed, and the benefits that could have on your overall health care. What we're also talking about is health care reform, what it was yesterday and what it is today. And we've touched on that, but again, there's a lot of confusion about is this good, is this bad, how does this affect me and my family, and how is it going to affect what's happening in my doctor's office? Does that change with health care reform? And in fact, it does, but a lot of those changes are good changes, as we've talked about empowering the patient and giving the patient information about their health care to make them partners in health care.
Dr. Deborah Karnashevitz is organizer and founder of the 14th Annual Women's Health Expo, coming up in Kingston, New York on May 3rd. Find out more at womenshealthexpo.com. Coming up, motherhood in Pakistan is shockingly dangerous, and an audio essay on life after breast cancer. If you missed part of this show or want to share it, visit the 51% archives at WAMC.org. This week's show is number 1293. Every 30 minutes, a young mother in Pakistan dies. It's the mother of all scandals, according to obstetrician and gynecologist Dr. Shershah Syed. He says the maternal death rate is a scandal. He says it's a scandal that few women in the country have access to emergency obstetric care. More than anything else, he says, It's a scandal that a country which can afford an atomic bomb isn't able to provide basic health care for its citizens.
28-year-old Hamida is in Qatar Hospital's maternity ward. She's lying fully clothed on a bed. The sheet is stained. An empty bag of blood is attached to her arm by a tube. She's in pain. She says that her lower back, legs and stomach hurt. 16 hours ago, she gave birth to a stillborn baby.
I had shooting pains at home and the pains had started around 10 o'clock. But we couldn't get a hold of any car. By 3 o'clock, we got a hold of the neighbor's car, and when I got there, the doctors told me, "Why have you delayed it so much? Your baby will not survive."
This was Hamida's 8th pregnancy. 4 of her children are alive, 4 died at birth or shortly afterwards. Like 70% of women in Pakistan, Hamida is anemic, in her case severely. She's also hepatitis C positive and has low blood pressure. Her doctor, Kaniz Fatima, says she's lucky to be alive.
I can say this is a near miss. Near miss means she is near to die. Most of the time we receive this type of patient in Qatar Hospital, most of the time. Normal patient is, we are not counting, but most of the time we have near miss due to bleeding, due to hypertension, eclampsia, fits, most of the time.
Many near misses and deaths occur due to delays. Often a woman can't go to hospital until she's received permission from her husband or mother-in-law. Sometimes there's no transport or even a road. And finally, when she does reach a hospital, the doctors, equipment or medicine she needs are not immediately available. Hamida's treatment was further delayed because her relatives refused to call her husband to get his permission for the operation. It's an attitude that Dr. Kaniz finds deeply alarming.
At that time, I felt that the family member is not interested in the life of women. They have no importance in women's life. Mentally, they thought she maybe die. They are not taking seriously this matter.
If you ask me what is the biggest scandal in Pakistan or in the world, I will say the biggest scandal is the scandal of maternal death.
Dr. Shersha Syed is the head of the Obstetric and Gynecology Department of Qatar Hospital. He's an outspoken campaigner for women's rights.
The main problem regarding maternal death is that there is no maternal care in all parts of the country. And the reason there is no maternal care, because there is no primary health care available. So women are dying because of immediate cause of bleeding during pregnancy, hypertension during pregnancy, and infection during pregnancy.
Dr. Shershah says that maternal care is low on the political priority list because on the face of it, it's an issue which affects women.
The society is very anti-woman. We all talk about women are great and they have heaven beneath their feet, you know. But practically, a woman has no respect in the society. She's illiterate. If you lose a wife, so what? You better don't lose your cow, because cow is source of income. Wife is just a wife. You can get another woman.
Less than a third of Pakistan's pregnant women have a skilled birth attendant at their delivery. The vast majority of women give birth at home with the help of a dai, a local woman with experience in helping women deliver, but with no formal medical training. This issue is being addressed. With the support of UNICEF and other agencies, the government of Pakistan is funding training programs for community midwives who will work in urban and rural areas. But even for those women who do make it to a government hospital, conditions are often far from ideal. In Qatar Hospital's overcrowded labour ward, 2 women lie top to toe on a bed. Others are constantly on the move to try and get relief from the pain. A second baby has been delivered stillborn. Its lifeless body rests on the weighing scale. People don't seem to notice. A few days earlier, a young mother named Aisha died in the hospital. She bled heavily following a cesarean section, and the hospital ran out of blood for her. She died, leaving 4 children and a new baby. Dr. Naheed, who tended Aisha, finds this very difficult to take.
She's continuously on my mind, and you know, and that baby is actually, you know, I cannot forget of her face and the baby. I cannot like think of those four kids and this newborn baby. Who will take care of them? And this is a story of every house here. Every single house has the same story.
Dr. Naheed's concerns for Aisha's children and new baby are well founded. Research shows that not only does the death of a mother plunge a struggling family deeper into poverty, but in parts of South Asia, a surviving baby only has a 1 in 4 chance of making it to its first birthday.
That report comes to us courtesy of UNICEF Radio. And finally, a performance piece developed in workshops with breast cancer survivors and performed by 7 cancer survivors. Originally performed at the Women's Cancer Conference held at the Moffitt Cancer Center in Tampa in September of 2011, it was adapted for radio by Robin Gordon.
When I was young, I believed in love. When I was young, I believed in dreams.
Cuando era joven, creía en la esperanza.
I believe if my parents were there, everything would be okay.
When I was young, I believed that the good guys always won, and fairy tales came true.
When I was young, I believed I would go to the Olympics.
When I was young, I believed the Soviet Union wanted to kill us all.
Cuando era joven, creía que iba a ser una estrella de cine.
When I was young, I believed I was free like the birds in the sky.
Como los pájaros en el cielo.
I did not want to grow up because then I would be too big and heavy to fly.
When I was young, I believed I could do anything.
When I was young, I believed I needed to be strong.
I wanted to run faster, jump higher, throw farther, swim longer than anyone else.
I wanted to be friends with everyone.
When I was young, I thought that I was lucky to be a girl.
When I was young, I believed I could always take care of myself.
When I was young, I thought absolutely nobody saw things the way I did.
I would always be healthy.
Yo siempre sería fuerte.
I never thought about cancer.
I never thought about cancer.
I never thought about cancer.
Nunca pensé en el cáncer.
I never thought about cancer.
Cuando era joven, creía que mi vida sería increíble.
When I was young, I believed my life would be amazing.
When I was young, I believed if you played by the rules, you would have a happy life.
When I was young, I believed that life was fair.
Y que podría cambiar el mundo.
I would build a city.
I would win an Oscar.
I would write the greatest novel ever written.
I will be an astronaut.
When I was young, I believed I was beautiful.
In fifth grade, I wanted to be a nun in a convent.
When I was young, I wanted to be the president of the United States.
When I was young, I thought that blonde people were always rich.
And Santa Claus was real.
Cuando era joven, pensaba que la vida era justa.
When I was young, I did not want to sleep because I was afraid I would miss everything.
No quería dormir por temor a perderlo todo.
When I was young, I never argued with myself.
When I was young, I believed I could be anything I wanted to be.
And that I could change the world.
I imagined being a runner.
A teacher.
An actress.
An artist.
A minister.
A clown.
Quería ser una bailarina.
I never thought about cancer.
I never thought about cancer.
I never thought about cancer.
Nunca pensé en el cáncer.
I never thought about cancer.
Cuando era joven, creía que mi vida sería increíble.
When I was young, I believed my life would be amazing.
When I was young, I believed I would never be sick.
Once I lost my way.
Once I lost my ability to smile.
Once I lost my wallet. I still have recurring nightmares about that.
Una vez, perdí mi habilidad de soñar.
Once, I lost track of my age.
Once, I lost my 3-year-old at SeaWorld. Can you imagine? 20 minutes of horror.
Once, I lost a lucky coin that I had carried in my purse for 15 years.
Once, I lost my self-confidence.
I felt like a stranger. I did not know who I was anymore.
Me sentí como una extraña. No sabía quién era yo.
I had 2 unsuccessful pregnancies. I lost 2 boys.
Once, I lost the love of my life.
I lost my balance.
I lost joy.
Once, I lost my hair.
My hair.
My hair.
Mi cabello.
My hair.
I lost my right breast.
I lost myself in trying to make everything okay for everyone.
Once I lost my voice.
I tried to scream, I shout, but there was nothing.
I felt like a part of me was gone forever.
I didn't want to live.
I had to experience loss in order to grieve.
Tuve que experimentar una pérdida para entender el duelo.
I know this to be true.
Once I lost my need to control and micromanage, I gained an ability to embrace life.
I lost the certainty I had before and opened myself up to uncertainty.
When I allow myself to lose, I open myself up to gain so much more.
Yo sé que esto es cierto.
At first, loss made me hard, and now it has softened me.
Once I lost hope.
When you lose hope, there's a great emptiness that takes hold of you.
Once I lost myself.
I lost hope.
I seem to have found patience with myself.
I seem to have found who I really am. Well, today anyway.
At 60 years old, I'm finally comfortable with myself.
I seem to have found balance.
Me parece haber encontrado el equilibrio.
I seem to have found my voice.
I have found freedom to open my heart to others.
I found I'm a surprise to myself.
I have found that living each moment, whether it be good or bad, is a gift.
Cada momento es un regalo.
I feel like I have been given wings to fly.
I seem to have found the laughter among the tears.
Reírme de mí misma es saludable.
I have found that life is not black and white. I can accept the gray.
I have found emotional baggage, which I'm peeking into and prying open.
I seem to have found a way to listen to myself more carefully.
I have found hope.
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 No more darkness and walking alone.
No more falling apart or disappearing.
I seem to have found a way to talk and share without crying.
I seem to have found balance.
Me parece haber encontrado el equilibrio.
I have found a community.
Me encontré con una comunidad.
I have found joy.
I seem to have found the path that I will follow toward contentment.
I have found that you can lose a body part and still be whole.
I can laugh at myself. I don't always have to be right.
I have found out who I can share my fears with.
I have found strength I didn't know I had.
I have found patience.
Se necesita tiempo.
I have found that I can inspire others.
I have found greater purpose.
I seem to have found my voice, my heart, my courage.
Parece que he encontrado mi voz, mi corazón y mi coraje.
I seem to have found.
Me parece que he encontrado.
I seem to have found.
I seem to have found.
I seem to have found.
I seem to have found me.
Lost and Found, written by Angela Bunting, Robin Gordon, Patty Halula, Christine Healy, Katie Powers, Susan Savard, and Tracy Tarr. Spanish translations by Johanna Linares. Compiled and directed by Robin Gordon. Performed by Angela Bunting, Robin Gordon, Patty Halula, Johanna Linares, Susan Savard, and Tracy Tarr. Engineered by Chioki Ianson. Edited by Sheila Cowley. Mixed by Matt Cowley. Music from the album Timeless Being by Karen Olson. KarenOlson.com. Special thanks to the Women's Oncology Center at Moffitt Cancer Center in Tampa, Florida, and very special thanks to WMNF Radio in Tampa.
That's our show for this week. Thanks to Katie Britton for production assistance. Our theme music is Glow in the Dark by Kevin Bartlett. This show is a national production of Northeast Public Radio. Our executive producer is Dr. Alan Shartok. If you'd like to hear this show again or visit the 51% archives, go to our website at wamc.org. You can also email me at sbarnett@wamc.org. This week's show is number 1293. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back next week with another edition of 51%, The Women's Perspective.